Hello, Malcolm here. Thanks for joining me today on Tuesday Teaching Tips. This is episode 185. And today we're talking about the purpose of preaching. Very fundamental today. And I have one particular proposal to make, perhaps, about the purpose of preaching. I'd like to test it out on you and see what you think about this proposal. And this proposal is that the purpose of preaching is to remove ignorance. The purpose of preaching is to remove ignorance. What do you think about that statement, that idea? Now, I'm reading a book at the moment called Preaching and Preachers. It's by D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, written back in the 20th century. Thank you, Harry Hardy, for giving it to me, by the way. And in the second chapter of the book, I think I read this yesterday, he makes the claim that preaching's aim is to replace ignorance with knowledge. And he gives a number of biblical examples, which I won't go into right now, but let's just think about this as an idea. So how does that fit with your idea of what your view of what preaching is about? Is it about replacing ignorance with knowledge? What do you think about that? And by the way, for the purposes of what we're talking about here, I'm mentioning preaching, but I'm including teaching within that. So preaching and teaching, whenever you hear the word preaching. So let's have a look at this today. Now, I would say that I would claim that one of the fundamental preeminent problems for humanity today is ignorance. Ignorance of all kinds of things. But let's just talk about the spiritual state of humankind. One of the greatest problems in the world today is the fact that people are ignorant of their own spiritual state, of their need for God, of the love of God, of the purpose of the cross, of the power of the resurrection, how to be given new life, and a lot more besides that. So much ignorance in the world today, and if only people in this world would truly know of God's love and who he is, then, well, my goodness, what a difference that would make, right? Paul reminds Timothy that God wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, come to a knowledge of the truth. This is what is in God's heart. So shouldn't it be in the heart of a preacher and teacher that we want ignorance to be replaced by knowledge? And when Paul spoke to the Gentiles in Athens about he spoke to them about their ignorance when he said in Acts 17, verse 23, you are ignorant of the very thing you worship. And this is what I am going to proclaim to you. So he's making a claim about their ignorance and a claim about his ability to replace that ignorance with genuine, authentic, helpful knowledge. So this is part of preaching, isn't it? Replacing ignorance with knowledge. Now, commenting on this pattern, Lloyd-Jones writes this. Let me quote this paragraph from the book. If this is the greatest need of man, in other words, replacing ignorance with knowledge, and by the way, he's writing in the 20th century, so for man, hear the word humankind, rather than just the male pronoun there, the male word. If this is the greatest need of man, if his ultimate need is something that arises out of this ignorance of his, which in turn is the result of rebellion against God, well then, what he needs first and foremost is to be told about this, to be told the truth about himself, and to be told it is told in the only way in which this can be dealt with. So I assert that it is the peculiar task of the church, and peculiar there is an old use of the word, not meaning weird, but a particular. Like this is the task of the church and no other institution or group. I assert that it is the peculiar task of the church and of the preacher to make all this known. Interesting statement there. And he's writing in the context of a feeling he has, an observation that he's making, that the value of preaching is being devalued. And that was in his time, back in Well, I think he was writing this maybe in the 60s. But what about today? It seems to me that preaching is under threat. Is it under threat for the right reasons? Sometimes the style of preaching needs to adapt. Sometimes the substance of it needs to adapt. Sometimes the topics need to be changed. But is preaching in itself wrong? If we're trying to replace ignorance with knowledge, preaching, teaching has a part in that. Now, we could go on to talk about what preaching is in its, if you like, in its substance, the mode of preaching, that kind of thing. We're not going to deal with that today. I've recorded elsewhere about that, and I'm sure I will do more again. But what I'd like to focus on today is the level to which we, you and I as preachers and teachers, are conscious of adding knowledge and removing ignorance when we are in the act of preaching and teaching. Seems to me from what I observe, it's not uncommon that many of us preachers and teachers think about what we're adding, what we're trying to add when we speak, when we explain in our sermons, what we want to have increase in our hearers in their knowledge. And that's good. But are we thinking clearly enough about the issues about which our hearers might be ignorant? Before we start thinking about what we want to add, we need to be thinking first about what people are ignorant of. Otherwise, we're perhaps adding things they don't need. If there's an area of ignorance in our congregation, in those people hearing us, that we're not addressing, then we're not doing them the right kind of service, are we? So before we think about what we want to add, we need to think about what is missing. And this is important for us who just love to preach our convictions. And it's not wrong to preach your convictions and what you're learning and what you're observing in the Bible and how God's working in your life. And that's all fine and good. But if that's our primary mode of deciding what to preach about, we're not serving our congregations well, because they are going to have areas of ignorance that are not being addressed. And if they're not being addressed, they're going to become a problem, if not sooner, certainly later. Now, I think there are several barriers that we might face to addressing ignorance. Let me give you at least three. The first is the modern distrust of the so-called expert. I think we've learned to be healthily skeptical about someone who calls themselves an expert. So often, we've discovered that the so-called experts didn't really know much at all. People interviewed on television and radio, so-called experts in the areas of politics or economics or science and medicine, in other areas, and maybe even theologians and preachers and teachers, they've been exposed. So therefore, we can be a little wary of standing up and creating the impression that we have an expertise, because we're fearful that people distrust us. But that's not a healthy perspective if we do know something people need to hear. But that's the first challenge we have, the modern distrust of the so-called expert. The second barrier is the fear that many of us as speakers have of coming across as if we consider ourselves to be somehow superior to our audience. That is a danger and it's a fear. Standing there looking at people, often looking down at people because we're standing while they're sitting, or on a stage when they're down on some chairs on the floor area, we can get that sense in which we're afraid that we can come across like, I know it, you don't, all hail me who knows what you need. That can be a challenge for us to overcome that feeling, that sense, and that concern. The third thing is the fear of sounding of, or even being unintentionally condemning of, those who are ignorant of the truth. That's not helpful. It's not helpful if we're pointing the finger at people saying, I know this truth, you ought to know it, being condemning in our tone, being condemning in our words, leaving people with the impression that they are worthless and feeling like they have no value. That can be a concern and a worry for us as we deal with the issues of ignorance. So I think those are three potential barriers. They are real issues, but they shouldn't prevent us from bringing knowledge where there is ignorance. Perhaps you can think of some more barriers, and if you can, then let me know, I'd be interested. So how do we address ignorance without becoming obnoxious? Let me suggest three steps. Follow these and I think you'll do okay. Number one, pick a relevant area of ignorance. An area of ignorance for your congregation, for your hearers, that is relevant to them, not just interesting to you. The scriptures have much to say in them, about which I am certainly very ignorant. However, not all the knowledge that I might dig out of the scriptures is relevant to the next group of people I'm going to be speaking to. Just because I know it doesn't mean it's relevant. Just because you or I have some excitement about some knowledge that we've uncovered in our own personal Bible study doesn't necessarily mean that we should convey that to this particular congregation at this particular time. Pick something that's meaningful and helpful to your group. So number one, pick a relevant area of ignorance. Number two, apply it to yourself first. Apply the knowledge to your own ignorance first. If your ignorance has been exposed and illuminated, then live it before you preach it. Live it before you teach it. Apply it to yourself first. That will bring authenticity and humility to your presentation, because you'll be able to say, I now know this. I didn't know this. It was challenging to apply it. This is how I've applied it. This is what God has shown me and taught me. I'm not sharing this with you from a position of, I've always known this, but something that I've had to learn, maybe even repent of, recently. Number three, be more positive about the knowledge you're bringing than negative about the ignorance you're exposing. Be more positive about the knowledge you're bringing than the negative about the ignorance you're exposing. This is about tone. This is about attitude. The point of preaching is not to condemn. The point of preaching is to offer light where there's darkness, life where there's death, hope where there's despair. And therefore, the knowledge that you're bringing to replace the ignorance, you need to preach with more positivity, more energy, more excitement. It's not helpful usually to be excited about exposing ignorance. I think one should be a little sad about that. I'm really sorry to have to tell you this, but this isn't true, or this isn't the right way to live, or this isn't how it is all going to turn out well. However, I've got something very exciting to tell you, and I think this is the tone of the New Testament sermons when you read the book of Acts. Paul and others are very clear about the consequences of the cross, but they're very excited about the fact that Jesus lives. Seems to me that would be the right balance. Well, those are three things that occur to me about the ways in which we can avoid the barriers of the potential barriers of being concerned about how to bring knowledge in areas and places where there is ignorance to do it well. My most recent sermon was for the Watford Church of Christ last Sunday, and I preached on, two Sundays ago, I preached on, should Christians be involved in politics? You can check out the recording. I'm sorry the audio partway through isn't so good, but you can look at it on my website or on the Watford Church site. Part of the reason for picking the topic, what should Christians be involved in politics, was about contemporary events. And part of it was also the conviction that I think for myself and many of us, we don't seem to have enough conviction about what Paul says in 1 Timothy 2, when he says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Praying for kings and all those in authority. And as we have the election going on right now in the UK, I wonder how many of us as Christians are praying for Boris Johnson and Jeremy Corbyn and Joe Swinson and the other political leaders or our local candidates hoping to be our next MP. Are we praying for them? See, I see more people, including Christian people, moaning about politicians on social media than I do offering to pray for them or mentioning that they're praying for them. My hope in this sermon, what I hoped for, was to remove the ignorance of the significance of praying for people in authority. The approach I took wasn't to rebuke everyone, to say, you're not praying for people, you should be. You're not praying for our political leaders, you should be. And it wasn't to judge this particular group, because I don't know the prayer habits of every single member, of course. But I wanted instead to add knowledge and take away ignorance about the significance of praying for our politicians, by addressing the issue of politics and Christianity more broadly. Now, whether I succeeded in that or not, you'll have to watch the video or listen to the podcast and assess that for yourselves. But I'm confident that for myself and the congregation that we're now less ignorant about the biblical perspective on politics and better equipped to practice what Paul says here about praying for kings and all those in authority. I hoped to replace ignorance with knowledge. And with that knowledge, I hope conviction and faith. What does this mean for you and I? Think about your next topic, your next lesson, your next sermon, your next text you're going to be speaking about, or the topic. Think about it. And how about thinking about not only what to say positively about it, like what stands out to you as useful, interesting, fascinating, faith-building, inspiring, not just what stands out to you in that sense, but looking at it for, but what that's bringing me some knowledge and conviction, but in what area then is that replacing some ignorance in me? And in what area or areas might that replace some ignorance in my congregation? And we shy away from using the word ignorant because it seems very demeaning. But the truth is we are all ignorant of a great deal of useful stuff, information, and we need more knowledge, don't we? So what we're really talking about here is replacing our ignorance with helpful knowledge. So what I'd like to know from you, if you wouldn't mind leaving a comment, is this. How do you preach and teach to remove ignorance without coming across condescending and like some kind of know-it-all? What do you think is the best way to replace ignorance with knowledge without coming across bossy, judgmental, condescending, supercilious, or anything else like that that's very unhelpful and unchrist-like? So I would love to know your thoughts on this. So please, if you would, leave me a comment in the comment box below where you're listening to the podcast or watching the video. Leave the comment publicly so that we can learn from each other, because we learn best when we're learning together in community, replacing our ignorance with our collective knowledge. Yes, replacing our personal ignorance and group ignorance with somebody's personal knowledge, and then it becomes group knowledge, which is really helpful. So there's another incentive for leaving a comment. And if you haven't already done so, hit the notification and subscribe button in YouTube, or it would be very helpful. That'll mean you'll get to know about the next recordings as soon as they come out. And if you could, I'd be really grateful if you could leave a podcast review. They make a big difference to people being able to find these recordings. Well, thanks so much. I do hope and pray that you have a wonderful week, a terrific Tuesday. Take care and God bless.